Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
In the eyes of those pushing homosexuality on the country, they've won the debate, especially with the June Supreme Court decision forcing so-called same-sex marriage on all 50 states. They just have a little mop-up to do, such as getting INDA and the Equality Act passed, in order to force all Americans to celebrate homosexuality or pay a fine, lose their business, or be fired from their job. Homosexual activists have successfully convinced those in power that they are born this way and equated their sexual preference to race. Anyone who says they are ex-gays pose a major threat to their plans and are immediately and viciously attacked. My guest today is Benjamin Spratling, the new president of Voice of the Voiceless. Thanks, Ben, for being with us.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate any opportunity to get to talk about the stories of healing of the men that I know.
And you, in fact, are an ex-gay, one of those people that homosexuals say don't exist?
Right, yes. I was exclusively attracted to men, and now I'm attracted to women.
Well, that's good. Because, I mean, you are living proof that you can live a homosexual lifestyle, but yet you can come out of that lifestyle and live as a heterosexual. So
definitely, and I would also say that there's sort of two things going on. There's, on one hand, there's the actions, there's the living the lifestyle. On the other hand, there's attractions, and they're not the same thing. And when we read, for instance, the Bible says, we read the English version of the Bible says the word homosexuality. When that was translated, the word homosexuality only meant actions, and it didn't mean attraction. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of Christians get that confused because in a modern English dictionary, the word means both.
Okay.
And so a lot of Christians see that, and they think it's both, and they get confused, and they don't know where to go. So I've seen a lot of Christians very uninformed about what it's like.
So there's a difference between the attraction and the action. I mean, and really, unless you take action upon those attractions, I mean, that's where the falling down comes, is when you actually act upon those attractions.
Well, that's where someone runs into God's moral law. But
right.
What we find is that, number one, God created our desires, and there's not a single thing as a same-sex attraction. There are two desires that are mixed together, and it feels like there's one desire. And so the process of healing from that is not about getting rid of a desire that somebody has that someone else doesn't have. It's about separating the desires. One is the sexual desire. The other is, for about 80% of the men, the other desire is a desire for healthy same-sex emotional bonding.
Mm-hmm.
And so for about 80% of the men who identify as gay or say that they are attracted to other men, that's the majority of the work that they would do in changing, quote-unquote, changing their attractions, would be fulfilling those needs for emotional bonds with other men in a healthy way that's not sexualized. And what happens is the subconscious, when that desire is filled, the desire for the sexual, the subconscious sort of naturally releases it and lets it go, and it's and through some work around any work a man needs to do around healing with the opposite sex, which mm-hmm. I generally refer to as the complementary sex, because I don't believe that masculine and feminine oppose each other.
Right.
So if I say complementary sex, I mean what other people say opposite sex for.
Well, that's the way God made the opposite sex to be complementary. So that's
right.
Exactly right on. So men who are engaged in the homosexual lifestyle, and what they really need is to learn how to have a healthy relationship with other men. Is that kind of what you're saying?
For about 80% of
about
the
80%.
Men, there's not just one kind of eroticized same-sex attraction. There are actually a lot of different ways. And one of the things I've seen as sort of stumbling block.
Uh-huh, okay.
One thing I've seen as a stumbling block in the church is that is because we have that one word to describe it, that they think that it's just one thing. Oh,
mm-hmm.
All homosexuals are like this, or all homosexuals are like that. And
really
what we find
box.
Is...
Mm-hmm.
Right. And what we find is there's several different readily identifiable typical life stories. And then none of them are mutually exclusive. So men have sort of different mixes of one or the other. And so some therapists, some counselors say, I don't even bother to categorize people into these sort of boxes or typical stories. We just take it as it comes. Just what is the emotional wound that is strong for this man right now? And let's address that. And what is the need for love that's not being met? And let's address that. And I really appreciate that, because for me, it really was a lot of years spent in counseling where they only talked about the kinds of wounds where I wasn't making enough connection with men, and they didn't address the other wounds, the wounds around emotional abuse from women, sexual abuse in childhood. And I had sort of like, those are three, some people would say there's three different types of homosexuality. I had all three. Mm-hmm. And so I was fortunate to find some people who were, could help me work through all of those different things in the amount that they were each significant in my life.
As you're talking and you're saying, which is true, we each have our own story. You cannot take one individual, or you cannot take a group of individuals who identify as homosexual or as whatever. You cannot take that group and say they all have the same story.
Right.
You cannot put them all in the same box.
But there are some themes that become really, really common.
Okay.
And
is sexual abuse one of them?
Sexual abuse is a fairly frequent story,
especially
because especially in the community of people who are searching for healing, because people tend to know, and when they grow up, they tend to know, hey, maybe my brother shouldn't have had sex with me, or maybe my dad shouldn't have had sex with me, or maybe that one time that woman cornered me in the mall bathroom.
Yeah.
You know, that shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
And so they tend to know, hey, maybe I need to address this, even if they don't know, and I didn't, that it had something to do with same-sex attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
So I think that there's more people looking for healing when that happens. But I've heard men say, hey, I was sexually abused, and I don't think it has anything to do with me identifying as gay. And I'm kind of like, oh, really? Tell me about that. And they're like, oh, well, it just helps me realize who I really was. I'm like, oh, tell me about that. And they're like, oh, well, I knew I was different, but
and it just
but then
validated
when I was,
it. I mean, that,
yeah,
that,
but then when I was sexually abused, suddenly I realized how I was different. And I was like, okay, let me tell you, you're saying exactly what we were saying.
You
didn't emotionally connect with other men, and then you were sexually abused, and you enjoyed it, and you believed you were different. And that's
validation for their feelings. The sexual abuse is validation for their feelings.
Well, it leads them into believing that they have the feelings because they're different.
Okay.
And the truth is they're not. They're actually the same as everybody else.
Yeah.
But they're not getting their needs met, their needs for love, their needs for emotional connection. They're not getting them met.
And that really troubles me, you know, that as we see families, more families in the United States, they're broken families, and more kids are in need of love that they're not getting because of a broken family. Not that all kids in all broken families don't get loved by their parents who are divorced, but yet there are many who are not receiving the love that they need because of a divorce. And, you know, they go to school, and too many schools, the majority of schools in the country, are now teaching that gay is okay. And we have gay, straight, and lines clubs, and such as that, which are, of course, pushing the gay is okay theme. So these kids who are seeking love, seeking acceptance, are, in my view, being almost, well, I don't know if they're being pushed, but, I mean, they're feeling the need for love, and they're going to the wrong places to find the love.
Right. They're not seeing the healthy, they're not finding the healthy source of love that they need. They know they need love, but they don't know what it looks like until they experience it. And they're going to take what they can get. I heard one therapist say it's like a fast food diet. It's not the healthiest thing, but when your other option is starvation, it seems really great.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I hope that parents and pastors and youth pastors and daycare workers can learn at the Safe Exit Summit is what would it look like for those relationships to be healthy? What are the warning signs that we can look for in the children when they're initially experiencing those emotional wounds, when they're initially experiencing those needs for love that they're not finding the way they need them? For me, it was recognized in first grade that I was seeking more attention, but it was presented to me as though that was something that was wrong with me, mm-hmm. instead of that maybe my two parents, who both worked full-time and never saw me, mm-hmm. maybe they needed to spend some more time with me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm really lucky, and that I'm very fortunate that I've been able to heal from a lot of those wounds, and also, for instance, that my mom has been able to heal from those wounds.
Mm-hmm.
In recent years, and I've told her, you know, Mom, I just needed you to be there for me, and
yeah.
tears streaming down her face, telling me sob stories about how she, when she was at work, and she was putting breast milk into a pump and storing
mm-hmm.
it in the break room refrigerator,
yeah.
all she wanted was to be with me.
Yeah.
But she was convinced by sort of the feminist propaganda
mm-hmm.
that she didn't need to be there
right.
for me, that she should go to work and she should be the breadwinner.
Yeah.
And it really corrupted sort of the role of the mother that God had designed
yeah.
for the two of us. And very quickly on your point that the children are looking for needs for love, it's not just in divorced families. It's all over. Theologians and counselors have been, and laymen alike, have been commenting on something going haywire in British and American culture with relationships of the same sex for decades.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to a speech by C.S. Lewis from, I forget whether it's the 40s or the 50s,
mm-hmm.
but he was commenting on how that American and British culture were peculiar, that there was a peculiar absence of male affection, and that about 80% of the men that I know who've had same-sex attraction, that lack of brotherly affection,
mm-hmm.
or in the Bible would say Philadelphia, which is brotherly love,
right.
the lack of that was a significant contribution to the creation of their gay identity.
Wow. Again, that shows the broken relationship and the need for a healthy relationship with the same sex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wow. Hadn't thought about that, for sure. But, you know, you and many other ones who identify as ex-gay, I mean, you've gone through the counseling and God has delivered you from the same-sex attractions, and you do pose a threat to those who want to convince Americans that they're born that way and that they need to accept same-sex so-called marriage and they need to change their laws to give special protections to homosexuals in the workplace and every, you know, every aspect of life. But, you know, as we hear your stories and watch the videos of stories up on the website, in fact, you started a project, started recently, Straight Project. What is that?
So that's my own personal attempt to get the stories of men who've gone from gay to straight available in a format that I think people can easily absorb.
Mm-hmm.
It's a web-based TV show of true stories of men who changed from gay to straight and how that happened in their lives. So there's no interviews, there's no lectures. I hired actors on the tiniest shoestring budget to actually reenact their life stories. I probably should have paid a little bit more
yeah.
than I did on the budget. I spent more for later scenes, and so the audio quality gets noticeably better in later scenes. The characters, I think, came across really precisely. The main characters
mm-hmm.
are spot on. Like I said, the stories are true, and there were times during production and during auditions where people would stop and they'd be like, wow, this feels like a conversation I actually had yesterday.
Wow.
And I'm like, yeah.
Uh-huh.
In fact, during the auditions, there was one actress, I was explaining the motivation of her character and why the character had broken relationships with men and how she saw men and how men acted in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And she just stops in the middle of the audition and she looks down and she looks back up and she's like, This is me. This is why. And
wow.
she like names her boyfriend. This is why so and so dumped me. And this is why I couldn't have a relationship. And it's like in the middle of the audition, because the reality of the characters is so real,
mm-hmm.
she has this critical awareness moment of herself.
Wow.
And I haven't kept up with her since then, but I'd love to think that she was able to take that insight and seek healing. What would
right.
the relationship look like if it were healthy? And there's so few examples of that. And the reason that I did it as a video series to be distributed sort of through the web was so that anybody at any church could get access to it and develop empathy for the characters who identify as gay, whether they're trying to come out of the lifestyle or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because empathy is ultimately what brings the healing. We can do all the counseling we want. We can do all the support groups that we want. We can do all the experiential weekends we want. But it's developing empathy with another person, either of the same sex or the opposite sex,
mm-hmm.
depending on how the wounds were created, that ultimately heals the perception of the self and the perception of the sexuality.
Right, right. So and where can we access that?
So that's at recentlystraight.com, and the first episode is available for free. It's sort of distributed through YouTube through my website, so like YouTube's hosting it,
okay.
And it's age-restricted, so someone will need to go to YouTube and create an account and show that they're over 18,
okay.
Just because we don't need, like, 6 and 7 and 8-year-olds watching these stories. It's about something that they really need to be a little bit more innocent about right now.
Absolutely, and media, entertainment media, and some of the education system want to take away that innocence from those little kids. So I'm glad that you've put that restriction on there so that little kids, you know, cannot view the really adult
film. Right. I would say, you know, parents watch it first and
then decide.
And then decide. I would say probably somebody who's 16 years old, it would really be fine. But for someone who's, you know, in elementary school, it's probably not. Not going to be the most beneficial thing for them right now. Some therapists, even when they bring in a 7 year or 8 year old child and the parents say, hey, they're exhibiting what seems like pre-homosexual behaviors, a lot of therapists will actually do a lot more work with the parents. The child isn't necessarily going to a counselor. The child isn't being told, oh, you need to do this or do that. It's a lot of work with the parents to provide a childhood for the child so that they can be resilient to the wounds they've had, and the parents become more attentive to the little things they say and the little things they do that the child is taking in a really big way.
Right, right. Yeah, a lot of times parents forget that what they say, a little kid is going to fully embrace that, and possibly misinterpret what the parent meant.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I heard one case, I didn't get permission from that man, so I won't share his story.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times in Christian circles, we talk about, oh, well, your emotions don't necessarily tell you the truth about the world around you. And that's right. But the same-sex attraction is a subconscious. It's an inner child. It's an animal-like perception.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to be based on the perception of what's going on, not necessarily the truth. So it's very easy for the subconscious mind, for the what some people call the inner child, or some people call it the soul. I'm not real sure if that mapping is precise.
Mm-hmm.
That part of the person, the way it experiences the world is through perception. And if we have misperceived something, then the misperception is what's going to rule our emotions.
Yeah, rule everything we think or how we view the world.
Right, and it can be very difficult when we get in those sort of in those mindsets and with those emotional histories that we learn through experience. It's very easy to then interpret the world through that and not recognize, oh, hey, I had this traumatic experience, and it's affected my perception of the world, and it's possible to heal from that. And I hear pastors make this mistake all the time. As we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. there's a difference between attractions and actions. And a pastor, I've heard, make a mistake and say something like, oh, if you have these attractions, then you have sinned. And that ignores the possibility that someone has sinned against the child. Someone has done something to the child that has wounded them emotionally, traumatically, and that they need special attention to help heal from that. And if they haven't been shown how to heal from an emotional trauma, they may not do it. But some of the most successful therapies for same-sex attraction are based in what's called grief work. For instance, Joseph Nicolosi, who's a really big name in therapy movements, has found great success with a technique called EMDR. Which I won't go into the description of it, but it's a therapy technique to help people cope with severe emotional traumas that result in what's called PTSD. And I think a lot more people, especially with the recent wars and more soldiers coming back, have heard of PTSD.
Right, right.
They think of it as a very specific thing.
We think
when
you hear that, you think soldiers. You think war, soldiers.
Yeah, and those are, so a trauma, an emotional trauma, is almost always a loss of a relationship. And what people don't realize is it doesn't have to be a relationship that existed. It could be a relationship that a person needed but never had.
Never had, okay. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Wow.
And so there's the therapies developed for healing from PTSDs are tremendously successful to help people process, resolve, overcome same-sex attractions.
Wow. Well, let's talk about what we're going to talk about during the program. Well, but this has just been fascinating, though, all this, you know, the information that you give, because it's so accurate what you're saying, that we think homosexuals, we lump them all in the same box, put them all in the same box, and think they're all the same, forgetting that they don't have the same story. They all have their individual stories. And we also need to remember that attraction is not necessarily action. You know, even though someone may feel same-sex attractions, they may not have acted upon those feelings. So I'm getting what you're saying correctly. You know, the church.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. We need to remember that. But coming up on October 2nd and 3rd is going to be the third annual Safe Exit Summit. And that's going to be held in the Washington, D.C. area. And what is the purpose of the Safe Exit Summit?
So I love that we're calling it the Safe Exit Summit. We had a different name in the past, and I love the new name. So Safe Exit comes from an organization called PFOX, which stands for Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays and Gays.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a Safe Exit program that they have speakers that go around to churches and talk about either their life experience of coming out of homosexuality or their experience as a child of someone who is transgendered or their experience as a therapist, as a pastor who works with people, has a lot of experience working with people who are same-sex attracted.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that we're now using that name because I think it really precisely says what we're about, which is this is an opportunity to bring together people who either they have same-sex attractions that are eroticized and they don't understand what that's about, they feel like they're struggling with that, they're seeking help, and also people who want to be supportive, that want to help those work through what the issues, the hurts in their lives,
mm-hmm.
and heal from that. So it's partially targeted at people who have same-sex attraction and don't want to. It's partially targeted at pastors, counselors. I think especially now youth ministers and children's
mm-hmm.
ministers. I think this is really important there. I didn't have a chance to confirm this, but I just saw in one of my Facebook groups that Illinois just ratified a law banning therapy.
Yep.
I think a lot of people don't know, these laws banning therapy, they don't actually ban the therapy. They ban the intention of the therapy. Because
That's
there's
true.
Not one therapy. If they sort of lump everything with the same intention together. And the truth is there are a lot of different approaches to therapy. And there are some people who've done it bad that was harmful, but the techniques that are really successful are not harmful at all.
Yeah,
I'm
going to throw something out there real quick, though. Keep that thought. But I just said June 14th, I think it was, I went to the National Constitution Center in Philadelphia, and they have a speaking equality display up right now. It's going to be through January, I think. But one of the first things you do when you walk into that display is they talk about lobotomies, where they would do lobotomies on homosexuals, and they went into details and as how the lobotomy was done and such as that, leading people to believe that every homosexual in the past had a lobotomy. I mean, that's the feeling that you leave with as you watch that one portion of the display. You know, like you said, different therapies, that was a way that they addressed homosexuality. But
definitely not what I've been through.
Yeah, well, I didn't think you were, but that was what the National Constitution Center, that was the first thing with that display, was it that exhibit was the first thing that they had was the lobotomy and details about how they did a lobotomy. And then there was a story of Uncle Freddie, I think it was, who had a lobotomy. But again, how distorting what has historically happened.
At least around 10% of the men that I've known have gone through some kind of something, whether it's support groups or one-on-one counseling or an experiential weekend, about 10% end up deciding to go gay full-time.
Okay.
And for
only 10%, though. So you're saying 90% want to turn away.
Other percentages have different outcomes.
Well,
about 10% decide they want to go full-blown mm-hmm. gay, identity, have a boyfriend, all that stuff.
Yeah.
None of them, none that I've met, say that anything that I recommend has been harmful for them.
Okay.
In mm-hmm. fact, some of them say, you know what, I might even still do that again. I feel like it was beneficial.
Uh-huh.
I feel like it helped heal wounds, but they still ultimately decide to go with a gay identity.
Right, right.
So if someone is, I mean, there are people out there who've had counselors or pastors give them really, really bad advice.
Well, right, true.
If they're in a place
but it's not just this issue that people have been given bad advice on. The act is if this is the only issue that counselors are given bad advice on. Just throw that
true.
Out. Yeah.
But I hear so many men saying things like, I've tried everything and it just didn't work. And I'm
yeah.
like, oh, well, have you gone to Journey into Manhood? And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, you haven't
mm-hmm.
tried everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was shocked that there was more. There's so little information on this. So few news media, thank you for doing an interview with me on this, so few news media are willing to even bring up the fact that somebody would even try.
Yeah. Troubling with me with these laws that the Illinois governor just passed is this is dealing with minors with unwanted same-sex attractions. So to me, that is interfering with parental rights of where the parents are seeking counseling for the child who has unwanted same-sex attraction.
You're definitely right about that. And as a minor, that's the time where it's actually going to be the easiest to heal.
Absolutely.
It's going to be because a lot of the emotional wounds that they'll get later on haven't happened yet.
Yeah.
And if the parents are contributing in some way, they can modify how they're parenting so that they can do it in a more healthy way.
Right.
If the parents are not one of the contributors to what's going on, the parents can help the child become resilient to what the others have done to them.
Yeah.
And I would also say that it's not just interfering with parental rights. A lot of the steps, like I said, empathy is a direct command in the Bible to all Christians. We are commanded to empathize. By banning the intention of the therapy under the guise of banning the therapy, they're actually literally banning Christianity, not in name, but in practice. And I think a lot of Christians are so uninformed on what these therapies look like that they have no idea that Christianity is now illegal in California, New Jersey. Some Jewish friends of mine were just convicted in New Jersey by a jury for saying that people could change. And now illegal in Illinois. And I forgot, one of the top left two states is either Washington or Oregon. I can't remember. I always get the two confused.
Well, they're both the same, really. As far as their political views, are all the same. So.
But one of them's got Mount St. Helens and the other one doesn't, and I can't remember. I love that volcano.
I think Washington has Mount St. Helens, but I don't know. I'm not sure either. So.
Okay.
But this Safe Exit Summit is going to be October 2nd and 3rd. Speakers include Dr. Michael Brown, Reverend Stephen Black, and Christopher Doyle. Dennis Jernigan will be leading worship. Regina Griggs, who's the executive director of PFOX. Jason Graves, and you, Ben Spratling. Okay, you guys will be some of the speakers. And the cost is $125. That's for the 2 days. And folks can go to register at safeexitsummit.org. That's safeexitsummit.org. Friday 9 till 4 is going to be a time when ex-gays can go to share their stories with Capitol Hill lawmakers. You know, this is just very important that they hear from the ex-gay community on this. So the actual conference does not begin until that Friday evening and then all day Saturday. Thanks, Ben. I really appreciate this. This is fantastic information, how we do need to show empathy. It's one of those words I never could pronounce very well. But we need to show that whether I can pronounce it well or not. And I do encourage folks to go to safeexitsummit.org and register to go. I'm not going to be able to go this year. I was able to go last year, but I can't make it this year because of other commitments. It was very, very eye-opening. It'll be the same case this year, too. So
thanks so much.
I encourage folks to check it out, safeexitsummit.org. And good luck on your new job. And good luck on your new presidency of Voice of the Voiceless.
Thanks.
I know you'll do a good job. Okay, you take care.
All right.
Okay.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.